when I found out what the theme was, I started looking into the definition. One of my favorite images that I came across, and I was planning on using it with the teens, is somebody jumping over a cliff. Because once you're in midair over a great chasm, you can't stop. You can't turn around. You have no choice but to just keep pressing forward. And that's just an idea of steadfastness. And as a church, really, that's what we have. We can't go back. And we can't stop. So we just got to keep pressing forward. And tonight, just very, very simple message tonight. And just a simple type of the search bar. First of all, I came across this when I was looking into this morning's. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And the Lord just gave it to me. So I said, okay, I'll use it, Lord. And today we're just going to, very simply, the things that the Lord said are the first things first, right? First of all, we need to have these things. We need to be aware of these things. We need to watch out for these things. And some of them we have already hit on today. But I have 6 points. And we'll just go till we're done. I promise you, it won't be that long. But let's pray, and then we'll start looking at these. We'll just get into them. First things first. Father, thank you for our time again tonight. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are watching via the live stream. God, I pray that you would encourage hearts today as only you can. I pray that you would strengthen our Christian faith and our walk with you. God, that we might know you in this time, in this day, in this age. God, there's a lot of things that we could focus on, but if we would walk with you and if we would know you and we would draw near to you, God, that would help solve a lot of problems. And so, God, help us not to turn back, not to quit, but to keep pressing forward. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 30, the first thing that we're going to look at is first fruits. First fruits, we already kind of talked about actually most of these this morning. But Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 30, this is what the Bible says, "And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, and every sort of your oblation shall be the priests. Ye shall also give unto the priests of the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house." And there, it's also a very similar passage in Deuteronomy 26. But what is he talking about? The first fruits. The first fruits belong to the Lord. And I know who's here. Again, we've talked about this morning. I'm not trying to harp on things that we all know. Everybody says, the only thing the pastor's interested in is your money. Well, guess what? So is Lowe's. Right? How many times have you ever walked into Lowe's or Aldi or Pier 17 or Chick-fil-A and they said, no, don't worry about money today. Everything's good. No. Money is an integral part of everything that we do. And God designed the tithe. God designed the temple in the Old Testament here and the priesthood and everything was based off of that. The priests were to perform the functions of the temple and to live of the temple, of their service. And so our pastor, and so me as well. And so all the functions of the church are paid for out of our tithe. And we talked about that, 10%. We don't need to belabor that point. But Malachi, if you want to turn over there, Malachi, and in case you're wondering, did he put these in any specific order on purpose? No, I just took them as I found them in the Bible, and they're actually in order. So that works out. So I am not focusing on anything. But Malachi in chapter 3, in verse 8, of probably a very familiar passage to most of us, and says this, what a question. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And so here's what God says, because his people withheld that which belonged to God, which belonged to the temple, which belonged to the priest. You're not meeting the needs that were supposed to be met. That was them, right? I don't think that's us. Ye are cursed, verse 9, with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But I like this. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. This is the only time that God says, I want you to test me. I want you to try me. I want you to prove me to see if I'm a liar. You bring me what I say, what I require, and I promise you that I'm going to bless you. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And God says, test him. Do you remember that first time you gave the tithe? Okay, I've come into church and I put a dollar in the offering, or maybe a $5. I'm splurging here now, people. $5 in the offering, and you're thinking, that's pretty big stuff, right? God is very pleased with $5. And then you hear somebody teaches you, no, it's not $5, it's 10%. What? I can't do that. I can't live off of that. Am I the only one? I said, no, I don't know if that's going to work. I know my bills. And then we take that step and we say, okay, God, I don't like it. I don't get it. But if you say it in your word, I'm going to obey. I'm going to take that step. And then God blesses. Right? By the way, the tithe, that 10% was just the beginning. Israel gave much, much more as it was percentage-wise in their tithes. Just a starting point. Of course, we do faith promise and we do all kinds of stuff, right? But first of all, we need to bring the first fruits into God's house. You want to get touchy? What about stimulus? What about tax return? Tax return, I already paid that tithe on that money. Okay. First fruits. I have kids, so I get a refund. If this is being too touchy, just tune me out for just a minute. So whenever I get my refund check because of my kids, I always tithe on that. Right? I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Anyways. Okay, whew, that one was done. Okay, now we can move on. Now we can have fun. Okay? The second one is this. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And he says this. We're going to look at the first commandment. Mark chapter 12. Sorry, excuse me. Mark chapter 12. Starting at verse 28, the Bible says this, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then, of course, he goes on with the second. But as we're looking at the first of all commandments, and this is something that they like to discuss, to debate. What's the most important of all the commandments? And so Jesus answers them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then, love God. Love God. That takes care of everything else if we would just love God. Right? If we would just put our love for God, and here's what he says, with all your heart, your control center, and a lot of these terms are kind of interchangeable, if you will, but that what makes us us, how we think and what we desire and our personality and all that is your control center, your heart, and our soul, that part of us that's going to live on forever, that self-conscious being. Our mind and our thinking faculties and our understanding and then our strength. And we can dive into these and say, hey, when's the last time that we served God with every fiber of our being? But here's what we do if we're honest with ourselves. We give God a portion. We relegate, God, you get this part of my life. But you may not have this part of my life. This is separate. God, you can't have what I watch. God, you can't have what I listen to. God, you may not have my work. God, you cannot have my family. I won't give them to you. And we compartmentalize. And Jesus says, the first commandment is this. Love God. Just love God. And again, we talk about this with teenagers because teenagers are, I love you at 12 years old. They don't know what love is, right? Amen, that's good preaching. I don't do that a lot, but it is, right? 12-year-olds don't know what love is. You shouldn't be saying, You better not be saying that you love some guy or girl, right? At 12 years old or 20 years old even. We're done. Okay. Because they don't know what love is, but love is an action verb, right? It's not a feeling. Love is an action verb. Love is something that we're going to do for someone. Love is sacrificial. Love is putting someone or something first before ourselves. We just throw out love. Oh, I love you. Oh. But when's the last time that our life proved it? God, you have me, whatever that is, every area. I remember as I was growing as a Christian, I'm still growing as a Christian in many ways, I had to throw out my CDs twice because they didn't please the Lord. Twice. That means the first time I drove up to the Exxon, and I remember it vividly, I took my CDs out and I said, God's not pleased with this music. And so I threw them in the trash can. And somehow over time, I built it all back up. And I realized, God's not pleased with this, and I have to throw it away again. Okay, God, if you're not pleased, okay, God, if you point something out, okay, God, if you want something, it's yours. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number three is this. So we've seen the first of all, first fruits, first of all, first commandments. And first of all, this is the first warning. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 now in verse, starting in verse 1. Whose kids are those? Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says this. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And again, we talked about that this morning as well. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And if you think about leaven, we're not bread makers necessarily, but we do like freshly made bread, yes? But to get that dough to rise, you have to put in a little bit of leaven. You don't have to put a lot in, but you do have to put a little bit in. And what happens? That leaven infects, if you will, the entire loaf. Just a little bit of leaven makes the entire loaf begin to rise. Just a little bit of leaven begins to multiply and grow and reproduce itself. It only takes a little bit of hypocrisy to get into the church. It only takes a little bit of negativity to get into the church. And it affects the whole thing. Hey, as we move forward in 2021, one of the things that we need to be careful of, first of all, is that we're not infecting the church. Nothing happening out from outside these walls is going to shut this church down. Nothing that happens out there, no regulation, no government sanctions, none of that is going to kill the church of the Lord. That's going to happen from within. And churches die. They're not necessarily just organizations and incorporations. They're living entities, right? And churches don't die because of outside persecution. Churches die from inside gossip, murmuring, hypocrisies. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And a hypocrite is what? An actor. It's somebody who says, I am this, but really is something totally different. And we can all be guilty of that. I am one way at church, and I'm another way at home, or at work, or when I'm all by myself. Right? That's character. What we are when we are all alone. That's one of the reasons why we like working with teenagers. If teenagers don't like you, they'll tell you. And Brother Bateman, right? Amen. Hey, I don't like you. Well, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that very much. That's very kind of you. Teenagers and young people don't deal well with fake people. They spot them and they call it out. Love it. Love their boldness. Right? So the first warning is hypocrisy. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, you don't have to turn to this one either, but it's a fantastic verse. It says this: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Kind of like we were talking about this morning. Look at me. Look how wonderful I am. Look how much I love the Lord. But a faithful man, who can find? You know what that faithful man's doing? He keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't have to say, look at how godly I am. People say that for him. He doesn't have to say, hey, look how spiritual I am, or how much I love the Word of God, or how much I love prayer. People will know for him. So our first fruits, our first commandment, our first warning, hypocrisy, our first problem. I ought to turn these around. That's so negative. Our first problem, though, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because with every negative, there's also a positive way to say it, right? Sorry, I failed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, looking at verse 18. Got to turn there. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Paul's talking to, obviously, the church here at Corinth, and he mentions this way back in chapter 1 as well, chapter 3, all over the place. You guys have cliques. You guys have divisions. And I understand that in the church, you're going to have people that you play music with, or you're going to have people that you like to eat the same things, and you like to go to the same places, and you have the same hobbies. But here's what the church doesn't need moving forward in 2021. Well, we have our group, and you have your group, and we don't need any of that. What we need to be focused on is the Lord, and then following our pastor, and just serving and doing our part. And it's divisions and schisms in the church that destroy, right? So if I'm going to turn around and make it positive, we should have unity. Instead of being negative and saying, hey, let us not be full of division, let's turn it and make it positive. We should be full of unity. What does that mean? Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's get together and have prayer meetings. Let's get together and have fellowships. Let's get together and invite. I know everybody's nervous about COVID and all that, and that's fine. Of course, you have to do what's right for you and your family, but let's get together and invite folks over and get to know one another and enjoy one another and fellowship one another and glorify the Lord together. Not just here. This is great, Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day. Because out there is a tough world. We're all we have in a lot of ways, spiritually speaking. And we need one another. So watch out for that first problem, which is divisions. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 says this: Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Of course, that's not necessarily, although it can be, sister so-and-so said this about sister, brother, or so-and-so, whatever. Okay, that could be a lot more serious with doctrine, right, talking about right here. But at the same time, that destroys, right? We need to be careful what we're saying about other people and who we're saying it to. And if you don't have a problem, what's the Bible say? Go to that person themselves. If you have a fault, go to so-and-so and say, I have a fault with you. Or, hey, have I done something to offend you? Right? Isn't that the biblical way? And if they won't hear, then what are we supposed to do? You got to love it. If they don't hear, what are you supposed to do after that? Take somebody with you, spiritual, and then go to them. Should we wait? No, I don't think we should. So the first problem is divisions. Number next, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. The first message. First of all, first things first. This is the most important message. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 3. First Corinthians 15, starting verse 3, the Bible says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." What is he saying? The gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the witness of all of these people to that truth. That's our number one message. And listen, I'm all for how do you raise your family, conferences, in a time like this. I need that. I got 7 kids. I know I'm not doing everything right. In fact, I know I'm doing a lot of stuff wrong. I tell them all the time, just see what I do and don't do that. Well, see what I do wrong, rather, and don't do that. And the things that I do, we'll do that, right? Because I know I'm messing up. I need preaching on the family. I need a husband-wife conference so we can get away and have a date night and I can learn about all the things I'm doing wrong with my wife, right? And how I'm not emotionally meeting her needs and all of that. I need that. Listen, I'm all for political and Christians and politics and those kind of meetings we go to. Not this year because it's virtual, but we go to this thing called Capital Connection. And it's fantastic where we would go into every representative and senator's office and just offer to pray with them. Take them a copy of the Word of God. They can't receive gifts, but they can be presented with certain things that pass the ethics committee, right? And a Bible fits that. And a book that was prepared for each and every one of them by name, paid for by a church. And we would just go in and pray with them. I'm all for God's people getting into politics and hearing from some of those political leaders and figures. I'm all for that. But that's not the number one message. And listen, I'm all for husband-wife conferences, and that's great. But the only thing that's really going to restore marriages is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm all for sending kids to camp and all these different things that we could talk about and all these different themed messages, if you will. But the most important message is always the gospel. First of all, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the fact that he was witnessed of many. That's the most important message that we have. And then number last, our first weapon. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And to use this verse this morning. But it's a good one and it's an important one. Because it's one of the most underutilized weapons that we have. It's the first weapon, if you will. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Church, we have to pray. We have to pray. Nothing is going to solve our world. We have to pray. Nothing is going to get so-and-so to believe. We have to pray. Right? It's our first and most powerful weapon that we have in this world is the fact that we have a great and mighty big God that's for us. that's working in our affairs and on our behalf. And this is what he says. First of all, I exhort therefore that first of all, we ought to pray. We ought to bring our supplications, and God, we need in our intercessions, and God, would you work in the affairs of so-and-so and help so-and-so in prayers, asking and receiving. Great book, John R. Rice. And giving thanks. All of that's incorporated in prayer. And yet, how often do we pray? How often, honestly, do we come before the throne of God, who has all the power, who's the only one who is able to solve anything, and ask him to do something? And what a wonderful example when we see Abraham interceding on the behalf of Lot. Right? And he stops short. And we could fault Abraham for that. He bothered to go to God. And 50, 40, 30? All right, God, 10. 10 righteous. Surely there's 10 righteous in the city. There wasn't 10 righteous. And God destroyed Sodom, Gomorrah, and all of those surrounding towns, cities, whatever. But God knew exactly what was in Abraham's heart. And pluck them out. Isn't it interesting that God did that? His wife was turned to a pillar of salt. His daughters had a terrible relationship with him and caused the Edomites and the Moabites, which were going to be a plague to Abraham's children. Why did God, knowing what was going to happen, why did God even bother to do that? He should have just said, no, Abraham, I'm not going to. Just my question, my thinking here with you today. Because Abraham, he prayed. Take your Bibles and turn over to James, if you will, and a familiar passage, I'm sure. James chapter 5, starting in verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "Confess your faults one to another." I think Brother Roy, when he was opening in prayer today, had it just right. God, forgive us of our sins. If we don't start there, God, recognize who I am, being honest with God, my sin, how are we going to ask God to work in the affairs of anybody else when we've got sin all over us? God, confessing your faults one to another. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, okay, I'm just going to pray this one time. No. When it's important to you and when it's important to me, we make time for it. And it's not just, well, God, I know, whatever your will is, it's going to be good. Right? That's when other people have problems. But when we have a problem, we don't quit. We don't stop. We don't quit asking until we get an answer. Whatever that answer may be, maybe it's a yes, maybe it's a no. If God says no, then sometimes we still ask. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, verse 17, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. See, when I read that passage, I get the idea that God told Elijah, hey, go and, I said Elijah, Elias, right? Yeah, it is Elijah, isn't it? Yeah, silly me. I get the idea that God tells Elijah, hey, go and tell him it's not going to rain. But from this, I get the understanding that Elijah told him it's not going to rain, and he said, okay, God, you can't let it rain. Now, I don't know how all that works, right? Maybe it was both. I don't know. But here you have a man of God that went before God and said, God, I need you to work in a mighty, mighty way. And God did. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. But the greatest weapon that we have in this life, we have the Word of God. And when trials come our way, I understand we can quote Scripture. But first of all, Paul writes, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for souls to be saved. We need to be praying for those that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. God says that's a good thing to do. Even if they, especially if they don't agree with the Word of God. God is able to change hearts. God is able to turn the heart of the king, right? Wherever he wants. So, first of all, first fruits, first commandment, the first warning, hypocrisy, the first problem, divisions, the first message, the gospel, and the first weapon, prayer. This year, 2021, as we're steadfast, don't quit, and don't give up, and don't turn back. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep pressing forward. Father, thank you again for our time. Thank you for just this little, I guess, more of a Bible study than anything, Lord. But help us to determine those things which you say ought to be first in our hearts and our lives, in our actions, our behavior, God, that we're going to give priority. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.